Several years ago, I saw a cartoon that was going around Facebook by an author, Randy Glassenbergen, actually, who focused on cartoons about education primarily. The cartoon, picture this if you will, is a caricature of a very matronly elementary school teacher handing a book to a student in today's digital world. The student takes the book, opens it, and looks at the teacher in confusion, as if to say, "What is this?" Our kids today come to schools with phones in their backpacks, do they not? They read books on Kindle and on their phones and on their iPads. So the teacher looks down at him and says, "It's called reading. It's how people install new software in their brains." And so today I want to talk to you for just a little bit about installing new software in our brains. As you think about reading and how it shapes our brains and prepares us to continue to develop into full human beings, reading wires us to grow. Reading wires us to become something, to become someone. It changes us, it transforms us in ways sometimes that we're not even aware of. A couple of years ago, a dear friend of mine's father had a stroke. And when I asked how he was doing, she said, "He's getting better. The doctor said the brain is creating new pathways." New pathways that were improving his cognitive ability. It was a miracle, she said. Can you imagine that your brain can create new pathways? I'm grateful for that, because there are times when I feel like my brain is dying. But I share that story and this cartoon to just come and remind us of how magnificent our bodies are and how our bodies are constantly changing. We are being wired every day for something that we have no idea God is preparing us for. The Apostle Paul wrote this epistle, or love letter, if you would, to the Christians who were relatively new followers to Jesus living in Rome during the time of the Roman Empire. It is the longest of all his epistles written to a community that he had never visited. A community that was not Jewish, and they were not new Christians. The average Roman citizen during the time of Christ had been steeped in the belief that Caesar Augustus was their god because he had delivered them peace from war after war after war. Paul was presenting them with one true God who fully manifested God's self in Christ to save us from destroying ourselves and creation. In this text, the apostle calls us to a renewal, to a change, to a transformation. Did you hear it? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, I don't know about you, but There are a lot of times when I have no clue what God is trying to do. Anybody else feel that way? You know, as Christians, we are called to be faithful and to live out our lives according to God's will and purpose. But how do we know what God's purpose really is, Reverend Teresa? That's a good question, isn't it? Well, Paul is trying to give us insight today in that if we are to be transformed, it must begin in our minds. Did you hear that? But how does that happen, you ask? You ask such good questions. How does it happen? It happens by reading our biblical story. It happens by reading books that are going to help us to grow and be fully who God has created us to be. The Imago Dei, the very image of God. Look at your neighbor. I really want you to look at them and see that they are created in God's image. We are all in the image of God. Wow, God must be a mighty, magnificent God, don't you think? I'm looking at you, and you are beautiful. Now, I know that life offers us a lot of challenges, and sometimes we see people, and they don't look like images of God to us. Their behavior, the way that they act, defies that they are in the image of God sometimes. I know sometimes I can be pretty nasty. How about you? Tell the truth. My mother says, tell the truth and shame the devil. But the reality is that we have to grow into that image. I had a professor in seminary who talked about that we are God's masterpieces. I believe that's in Ephesians, I think. Might be wrong. But that we are God's masterpieces and that God has created each one of us beautifully and masterfully. And over time, just like a portrait that is hanging in an art exhibit or even in your home, it will gather dust. It will begin to fade. The image can become distorted, right? And that's what happens to us if we are not constantly renewing ourselves so that we are being transformed. Now, I need you to help me with something. Help me to understand why, as humans, we have such a hard time with change. Why do we rebel against change that is good for us? I want you to talk to me. Is it because we're human? Nature changes hard. All of those things are true, but there also is the truth that we're changing every millisecond as human beings. Our cells are growing, they're mutating, sometimes for not so good reasons. I've lost some dear family members to cancer. That's because of changes that are happening in our body that are not good. But there are also changes that are happening in our body that are good. I remember the first time I felt that God loved me. It was at the communion table. I was a new Christian in the Disciples of Christ. I had never in my journey had communion, because as a child growing up in the Pentecostal church, you could not have communion until you confessed your faith and spoke in tongues. That in my church, that didn't happen to me. So I could not take communion. And when I began to worship at Ray of Hope with Reverend Dr. Cynthia Hale, and the first time she invited us to the table and told us what that table meant, I was like, wow, God loves me too. And from that moment on, I was sold on the Christian Church, Disciples of Christ. Amen. Amen. Thanks be to God. But God is saying to us that we cannot be faithful if we're not growing. We cannot be faithful if we are not embracing change that is good, and what is good is according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I want to take just a few minutes, because we got some other important stuff, to talk about change and why it is important for the Christian church, Disciples of Christ, to reclaim transformation as essential to our identity. Why? Well, a good example of that is a book that I read by Phyllis Tickle called The Emerging Church. Phyllis Tickle was an Episcopal layperson, and she was the founding editor of the religion department at Publishers Weekly. And she wrote many books, but for several years she argued that Christianity undergoes a massive transformation every 500 years or so. And guess what, God's beloveds? We are in that 500 years. And so what that means is that the church is going through change. Do you feel it? What does it feel like to you, the change?
Anxious.
Anybody else? What did I hear? Disappointment? Disappointment. I heard something else.
Different.
Charlie has something to say. Chaotic. Unraveling.
Exciting.
What Phyllis Tickle is said to us in The Great Emergence is that the church is continuing to mature. I like that concept, that we are continuing to mature and to gain greater clarification of our engagement with God and who God is calling us to be as followers of Christ. And it is uncomfortable. It makes us anxious. It makes us wonder if we are dying or living. I'm here to tell you, we're doing both. There has to be a death in order for there to be a resurrection. Now, I know we don't like to talk about dying, but the reality is if we are going to be transformed, then the things that we hold very dearly may have to die. The things that we think are essential to our life in church, our faith communities, some of those things are no longer working for us if we are honest about it, right? Some things are working just fine. Don't try to fix a wheel that's not broken, right? But there are things that we are holding on to because we have not been practicing the renewing of our mind. Now, I know that I pray every day, seeking God's purpose and will for me. And honestly, sometimes I don't listen. I told somebody I was praying, Reverend Bales, a couple of months ago, and they said, well, what did God say? I said, nothing. And what did that mean? That I needed to keep praying, right? And so as we are living in this unraveling, this disappointment, this excitement, this chaos, there are some things that I want to give to you to help you be in a posture, a global position, if you will, a GPS of listening to God together and being transformed. Number one, you need to remember and release. We are remembering today the saints of our community and our families because they have set a path for us that has been good, and we need to celebrate that. But we also have created paths that are not good for us. Some things we are holding on to that we need to let go of. Things that are no longer nourishing our spirits and helping us to create stronger community. And to those things, we need to release. And with releasing things that have been a part of our life comes grief, doesn't it? And the truth of the matter is, sometimes we need to just lament and say, God, I am hurting. I don't want to let go of this. And honestly, the church does not know how to lament. And so we need somebody to help us learn how to lament. Reverend Bales and Reverend Bench, help us learn how to lament. Secondly, we need to repent. Because there are some things we've gotten wrong, aren't there? Say amen and shame the devil. There are some things that we have gotten wrong. When we have created traditions and rules that keep people out, we've gotten it wrong. God, please forgive us. When there are things that we do that make people feel less than human, churches, yes, churches, we have done that. We've gotten it wrong. God, please forgive us. We are called to be the community of Jesus Christ where love is our guiding principle. And any person who walks into this building like I did this morning, should feel love. You don't have to say a word. You can just look at them with a smile. Give them a hug. I needed that this morning. Love should be the guiding value in everything that we do. And that is not rocket science, is it? But how often do we get off of track? Sometimes it's just that we're not paying attention. And we need to take time to look in each other's eyes and say, good morning, God's beloved. Do you know what that means for me to say that to someone? It shifts me from thinking about myself to thinking about the other person. So releasing those things that are in the way that are keeping us from being God's epistle. The Apostle Paul wrote love letters to the churches that were becoming Christians. I was in a meeting with an ambassador from Africa. I can't remember where in Africa, but he had a staff that was full of about half a dozen of them, all men. He was Muslim. But among his staff, there was one man who was Christian. And I went up to him and I said, "Thank you so much for sharing about yourself." Because what he had said to all of those that were gathered, he said, "I am so thankful that the ambassador was strong enough, was bold enough to add me to his staff." And he said, "I'm a Christian." And I said, "Thank you for sharing that." And he said, "All I am trying to do is to be a love letter from Jesus. All I'm trying to be is a love letter from Jesus." How powerful is that? If we can just, as the church, make that our mantra. We're just trying to be a love letter from Jesus. Why are you here today, Reverend Joanne, at the food bank? I'm here because Jesus sent me. I'm just trying to be a love letter from Jesus. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is your reasonable act of worship. So everything that we do from the moment that God blesses us to rise up until the moment that we lay our heads should be focused on being an act of worship to God. In our work, in our marriages, in our relationships with our children, in our play. Did you know that God likes to laugh? Yeah. How do we know that? Because we laugh, and it makes us feel better, right? Did you know that God cries? How do we know that? Because we cry. What is it that we know that God doesn't do? Sin, hate, hurt. That is not who God created us to be. And so in these times when things seem like they are just crazy, anxious, disappointing, exciting, even excitement can make you nervous. I was nervous driving up here this morning. I live in Macon, Georgia. The traffic was good this morning, though. Thank you, God. God is calling us to trust in God, that God can renew us. God can reshape us as a faith community to be vibrant once again. I heard of the saints who joined this congregation in 1944. Is there anybody who joined before then? Raise your hand. You joined before 1944? But think about it. The church has been vibrant before. The church has not been vibrant before. These things that we are experiencing have happened before. The author of Ecclesiastes says there is nothing new under the sun. But the way that we live fully and grow and continue to change into who God is purposing for us is to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And so you remember and you release. You repent. People don't like to talk about sin anymore, do they? Sin is simply living beneath and outside of what God has purposed for us. It's not a big scary word. It just creates a barrier between us being able to listen and hear and discern and be who God is calling us to be. And so repentance. Remember, release, repent, and then realign ourselves. It is in the renewing of our mind that we discover whether we're in line or out of line. Remember, release, repent, and realign ourselves. In the realignment, we must do that together. We have to learn to discern together. I know all of us have our prayer lives, but if we, First Christian Church, Lawrenceville First Christian Church, are going to be who God is calling us to be, we have to come together, invest the time, and sit and reason and listen to each other, because the answers are not just these two powerful sisters right here. They are with all of us. God is giving all of us the answers and the roadmap to living into these times that we're in today. How are we going to do that, Reverend Joanne? Oh, you are smart people. You need to set aside time to come together and focus on what it is that you believe God wants you to be in the next decade. Figure it out together and then be it, because the world needs us if we are going to be who God has created us to be as a beloved community. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks be to God.